Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Hey, everybody. I want to talk to you for a second here about Canva, specifically Canva presentations that are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva presentations can generate any deck you want for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can save time on any presentation. So start designing today at canva.com. Design for work. Just go to Canva, C-A-N-V-A.com.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh. Chuck, say hi.
Hi, Josh.
This is Stuff You Should Know. You put Chuck and I together in a room and press record and you get Stuff You Should Know, just like that.
That's that easy.
Yeah, we should put like a star twinkle in there. Chuck?
Yes, Josh.
Have you ever passed by, like, an old store or something like that, and you just felt drawn to go look in the window, just kind of peer in it?
An old store that's closed down?
Yeah, like, exactly. I'm sorry. An old unused store of some sort, like an old grocery store.
Oh, yeah.
And you look inside, and really it's just kind of like, you know, some pillars that hold the ceiling up.
Uh-huh.
Maybe, if you're lucky, a couple of shelving units.
Yeah.
That's about it, right?
I do. I'll get into this a little later, but I'm way, way, way turned on by this subject we're going to be talking about today.
Really?
Uh-huh. I'm way into it, and I've done it.
Turned on?
Well, yeah, sure, intellectually.
Oh, okay, I got you.
Yeah.
I was like, that's a weird thing to be turned on by. But have you ever, okay, well, wow, my whole intro's just shot. Let's talk about Urban Explorers, shall
we? Okay, sorry to derail you.
No, you're fine, you're fine. Okay, so we're talking about urban exploration.
Right.
And let's just give a little background here, a little definition right here.
Well, urban explorers are people that, it doesn't always have to be urban, meaning city. It's basically when you go and explore any, abandoned structure, correct?
Almost always abandoned.
Almost always abandoned.
Yeah.
Structure. And you see what's there. There's some ground rules, you know, you're not supposed to take anything.
No, there's some real codes of conduct that have cropped up that are like really strict.
Uh-huh.
So basically, you've got urban exploration really kind of starting in earnest in the 1970s, right?
Right. There's San Francisco?
Yeah, this group called the Suicide Club. And I'm not entirely certain, but I think Ken Kesey was a member. And they used to go tour like old utility tunnels,
uh-huh,
and old hospitals and stuff around San Francisco. They also used to do, and I think this is where they got their name, during storms, they'd jump into San Francisco Bay. And apparently there was one seawall that had some heavy chains linked to it.
Uh-huh.
So they'd hold on to the chains and just get whipped around by the waves.
Wow.
Yeah. They did other weird stuff. They had like dinner parties on Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah, that was really cool.
But they and also you can even go a little further back than that. In the 50s, students at MIT used to tour like underground steam tunnels on, uh-huh, around campus and everything. But most people credit Suicide Club as the people who really started to do urban exploration.
Right.
But it took about 20 years before it really started to catch on.
Uh-huh.
And so you got the 90s, and now all of a sudden there's that code of conduct, the code of ethics, right?
Right.
Which were?
Well, like I said before, you're not supposed to take anything. What I thought was interesting is there's this old saying with camping and wilderness exploration, which is take only pictures, leave only footprints.
Mm-hmm. And it's like the Sierra Club.
Oh, is that?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's the same thing with urban explorers, even though they're, you know, a lot of people would just say they're just ratty old buildings. They have a lot of respect for it, it seems like.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people that they have to contend with. I mean, you have homeless people who,
sure,
find these ratty old buildings to provide shelter.
Mm-hmm.
You've got people who, I've never understood the compulsion to spray graffiti. especially right. when you suck at it. I've got a can of black paint, and look, I can write.
Right.
It just looks awful. Now, if you're a graffiti artist, that's totally different.
Right.
But just spray painting something for the sake of spray right. painting it, I don't understand it.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially if your tag sucks. I don't think you should do it. Right. I think you should either work on your tag or just quit altogether.
Right.
Okay, so they've got all these other people that actually probably kind of give them a bad name, urban explorers. And when I say them, I'm referring to a vast network of people who are either totally independent, loosely, or very tightly knit.
Right, thanks to the internet.
Yeah, the internet's really helped, which is probably why it started to really take off in the 90s.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And these people are just, like you said, they're drawn to abandoned or unused or neglected man-made structures.
Yeah.
Right?
I am.
Yeah. But they're not the ones who are doing the graffiti.
No, that's because that's against the code of conduct. Don't break things.
You can't use wire cutters to make it past a fence.
Yeah, I like that one.
You certainly can't kick in a door or anything
right.
like that. And yeah, if there's like, I read about one guy who found this old mining office.
Uh-huh.
And it was like a 19th century office, and he found like these reams of like really personnel files,
uh-huh.
way more personal than you. Well, I would hope my personnel file is. And he just sat there and read them and quietly put them back.
Right.
I think he found some X-rays and things there too of like people with black lung and just really interesting stuff. But he didn't take anything.
Right.
And he put them back where he found them. So that's another one too.
Uh-huh.
So all of this stuff kind of forces you to get creative, right?
And how you get in.
How you get in, but also, you know, what you're doing while you're there. If you
right.
can't take anything to show your friends, that logically leads to documenting it.
Right.
And there are tons. If you go onto Flickr mm-hmm. and type in urban exploration, urban explorer, urban anything about urban whatever, as long as it has to do with UE,
mm-hmm.
it brings up some really cool stuff.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Oh, you got to. And, of course, my favorite website of all time, Forgotten Detroit, which I make
love
you
it.
Look at probably, what, once a month?
Yeah.
Even though it hasn't changed in a decade.
Right.
Yeah, that's the same thing, too. It's one of the aspects of urban exploration is to document this crumbling present that's actually very much rooted in the past.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what have you explored? I'm curious.
Well, I don't know when this all started, but I was really young, and I thought most boys were like this, but I was way, way into exploring things.
Mm-hmm.
My dad's a photographer. He used to take my brother and I out to the country in Georgia to photograph old barns and things. And my brother and I would always explore these barns. And I guess that's kind of how it started.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something about a large, I'm not sure. You could probably study me clinically because anytime I'm in a large empty building, I get really excited. Like, it doesn't even have to be an old abandoned building, but I've taken like a tour of like a stadium, let's mm-hmm. say, Stanford Stadium at UGA mm-hmm. when no one else was there, and being out there with no one else, there's something about it. It thrills me.
Really?
Yeah.
So, I mean, have you gotten into this a little more? Have you taken it to?
Well, yeah. When I was about 13 or 14, my family used to vacation in Florida, in Pensacola, Florida,
mm-hmm.
and there was an old fort there, the campground called Fort Pickens. 1843 is when this thing was built, mm-hmm. and it was in service till about 47. And we made torches, just like you see on TV, with like the cloth wrapped around the end. And the battery there on the beach, you could sneak through the bars. They're like prison bars. And my brother and I did this, and we explored all these rooms and tunnels from like the Civil War. Guys had stuff like scratched on the wall and painted on the wall.
Was it like a prison?
I don't really know. I actually looked today to try and find out exactly what part of Fort Pickens we were in. I think it was the battery. I don't think it was a prison.
Okay.
But they would have the bar, so you know, obviously the enemy couldn't get in and
get
to their stuff.
Unless they were 14-year-old boy enemies.
Right. But, so we explored the heck out of Fort Pickens, and it was really, really cool. And then I did it again. Probably about 8 or 9 years ago in Atlanta, I lived in some warehouses on the west side of Atlanta, and my friend and I got into one that was empty and kind of boarded up, and we found all these old blueprints for MARTA, our subway system here, for when MARTA was first being pitched to the city in the 70s, and all these old plans and blueprints and letters and things like that.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I'm way into it.
I guess so.
I mean, not way into it. I'm obviously not in a club, and I don't do this regularly, but when I have done it, I just think it's really cool.
Do you have a handle?
I don't have a handle.
Okay.
I didn't take anything, though, and I didn't even know that was a rule. I just didn't want to disturb anything.
It sounds like you are a true urban explorer.
Yeah, so I've done it a few times, and I would do it again at the drop of a hat. I mean, if someone knew of a place, if you called me up on a Friday and said, hey, man, I know this empty shopping mall. Yeah, I would go in a second.
I'm glad you said shopping mall. There's one that actually I want to plug another site, UER.ca. It's a Canadian Urban Exploration and Resources site. And they basically, they allow people to post, you know, documentation of their own explorations. And there was one that I was looking at in Atlanta, I think I showed you too, of the old Avondale Mall.
Right, which is right near where I grew up.
Whoever did that just did a spectacular job of documenting this mall. It was clearly in its heyday in the 80s. Everything's very pastelish.
Right.
There's like huge mirrors everywhere. It is one of the creepiest things I've ever seen in my life. And now it's gone.
Yeah, there's a Walmart there.
Which is another point of urban exploration, as far as I understand it. You're catching a last snapshot of something before it dies.
Right.
Because we inevitably tear just about everything down.
Right.
And this is keeping it for posterity. Not in its form of, you know, when it was in its peak or you know, functioning, but almost like after it's aged and right before it dies. You're kind of capturing that.
One last look.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess it's at this point that we should say we do not recommend urban exploring because it is, in fact, trespassing and it is illegal. So we're not saying you should go out and urban explore just because your friend Chuck has.
Not only that, it's very, very dangerous.
It can be, yeah.
By definition, a neglected building is, you know, it's a dangerous place.
Right.
You know, there's such things as building inspectors, but they only inspect functioning buildings.
Right.
So if you take the function out of a building, there goes the building inspector, and you have no idea whether you're going to fall through a floor or, you know, have a floor fall on you from above, which would make it a ceiling, I believe.
Right. Actually, someone passed away not too long ago. Is that correct?
Yeah, in Australia, there were some kids that were exploring a sewer system, and there was like a sudden storm, and the storm water just came hard and fast, swept them off their feet, and pinned them against a grate where it was exiting into the ocean, and they drowned, pinned against this grate. So, yeah. I mean,
it can be very dangerous.
It can be. So, yeah, I think that was a good move, Chuck. I think our legal department's really going to appreciate that.
Don't listen to me.
Exactly.
Listen to me, but don't do what I say.
Hey, everybody. It's time you heard about Squarespace. Squarespace has the tools you need to create and sell your own website. Whether it's an online course or custom merch, Squarespace has you covered.
That's right. Courses is a great program. You can start with a professional layout that fits your brand, upload video lessons to teach techniques and skills, and tailor your course with a powerful Fluid Engine editor.
That's right. With Fluid Engine, which is a next-generation website design system, by the way, it's never been easier for anyone to unlock unbreakable creativity.
That's right. And don't forget the commerce side, because after that, you can charge a one-time fee or you can even sell a subscription.
Yeah. So turn your creativity into income with Squarespace courses. And right now, go to squarespace.com/stuff for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use offer code STUFF to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Squarespace.
Hey, everybody. Did you know that Boricua is the name for someone from Puerto Rico? But it's more than just a name. It's a way of life and representation of the vibrant spirit of the island.
Yeah, that's right. It's an island that's filled with adventure around every corner and natural treasures waiting to be explored, like El Yunque, the only tropical rainforest in the entire United States.
That's right. Or you can get swept away by natural beauty and come away with unique stories that could only be experienced in Puerto Rico that remind you of why you travel in the first place.
Visits end, but stories last forever. You don't become a part of the island. It becomes a part of you.
That's right. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
So we've talked about shopping malls, right? But there are actual, like, you know, there's other mundane things like that, like an old office building or something like that. There's just, if you, for some reason, if you take people if out of a building and leave it there for 10 years, anything's interesting.
Yeah.
Right? But there's also some like destination spots for urban exploration. Like, have you heard of Danvers State Hospital?
No.
Have you ever seen the movie Session 9?
I have.
You've seen Session 9?
Yeah, I brought
that
up in a...
You're the only other person I've ever met who saw Session 9.
Yeah, I brought that up for our asbestos article, because it's an asbestos team in the, movie that's going to this abandoned mental hospital.
Yeah.
Very creepy movie.
Yeah. Yeah, it is very, very creepy, but that's filmed at Danvers.
Okay.
There's another place that's in Massachusetts, and it's an abandoned insane asylum.
Uh-huh.
Which is just creepy enough, but
sure.
This thing is huge, old Gothic architecture, old brick.
I would love to walk through that place.
Well, there is one that's similar that you could walk through, which actually technically takes it off of any urban exploration list, because one of the things is that it has to be off limits to truly be urban exploration.
Right.
There's a place called Waverly Hills in Kentucky.
Uh-huh.
It's a tuberculosis sanatorium, and I think it was around for 30 or 40 years, and in that period of time, 60,000 people died there.
Ugh.
Yeah, it was bad. They have like this little morgue that's still there, the white tile. There's like hospital, like old time hospital gurneys everywhere, old timey wheelchairs. It is beyond creepy. And that's actually open for tours. I think there's a couple that either bought it or bought the rights to give tours there. So
that's cool.
Waverly Hills in Kentucky would be a good place to go if you're into that.
I love it. I think part of it has to do with being scared. I like that feeling. It's a exhilarating feeling to be somewhat frightened. I'm not talking scared out of my wits or anything. I don't like that. But there's something about an element of danger, being scared and being some large, dark place alone that just, I don't know, I get a kick out of it.
I agree. Well, you and your brother, take your own advice. Be careful if you're going to do it. And if you did, don't say that we told you to do it.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, that's urban exploration. And this is Listener Mail. Okay, so Chuck, what do you have for us?
Josh, I have a couple of quick corrections this week.
Okay.
We're not always right.
That is a lie.
We do the best we can with facts, but sometimes we think of things on the fly and don't exactly have it at our fingertips. So we have a couple of corrections in our podcast about, which one was it with the magic bullets? Where's the best place to get shot? When you talked about Kennedy?
Yeah.
And you mentioned that you thought it was a senator who was shot with JFK in Dallas.
And of course it wasn't.
No. And you should have known this one. Texas Governor John Connally, who was actually in the car with him.
Why should I have known that one?
Because that was a big event in our nation's history.
I agree. But, wow.
I'm not scolding you, but
okay.
I didn't know it either, so what am I saying?
And who is that from?
That was from Dave Barton.
Thanks, Dave.
And then Carrie Klinger, who is a dentist here in Atlanta, actually... says she wanted to comment on the inconsistency with the one about the FDA and herbal substance regulation.
Mm-hmm.
We compared Tylenol, over-the-counter Tylenol, to Tylenol 3, which you need a prescription to get. And the reason you need a prescription is because Tylenol 3 is regular Tylenol with codeine added, which is a narcotic.
I don't even remember saying that. Can we play the clip real quick? Exactly. Like, think about how you perceive Tylenol.
Sure.
And then how you perceive Tylenol 3, that stuff with codeine.
Right.
Which is pretty much like 800 milligrams of Tylenol.
Right.
I think, something like that.
That's from Carrie Klinger, and like I said, she's a dentist, and she said it's not a matter of a difference in dosage. It's a much different drug with a narcotic in it, and so it's subject to regulation. And she says that she prescribes it whenever she takes a tooth out, and I'm actually in the market for a dentist, so I might look.
I've got one for you.
Well, I want to go to Carrie Klinger here in Atlanta so I can get some codeine.
That's awesome. You're med-seeking, you realize.
I'd need it in case I had a tooth out.
Have you noticed we're huge in the dental community?
We are. That's two letters from dentists.
Yeah, that's weird. All right. Well, thank you to Carrie Klinger and
Dave.
Thanks, Dave. And if you want your letter read, make sure it's witty and clever, and send it to stuffpodcast@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
In Puerto Rico, there's adventure around every corner and natural treasures waiting to be explored, like El Yunque, the only tropical rainforest in the U.S. Get swept away by natural beauty and come away with unique stories that could only be experienced in Puerto Rico and that remind you why you travel in the first place. Visits end, but stories last forever. You don't become a part of the island, it becomes a part of you. No passports required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Hey, if you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon as low as $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Use promo code STUFF20 to receive $20 off your first month for listening to this podcast. Switch now at Visible.com. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. The Visible monthly rate is $25 per month.